Take your Bibles, if you would, turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 8, and Mark, chapter 5. If you would, the book of Matthew, chapter 8, let's stand together as we read it, beginning at verse 28. And when he was come to the other side, into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, "What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?" And there was a good way off from them and herd of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, "If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine." And he said unto them, "Go." And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine. And behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. And they that kept them fled and went their ways into the city and told everything and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coasts. Dear Heavenly Father, as we read this portion of scriptures, we are bothered by the fact that they didn't seem to care for those who may have been cleansed, but for the swine. And Lord, we just pray now that we would have our eyes on the souls of men and of women. We ask, Lord, this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Mark chapter 5, and we'll begin reading at verse 1. Mark chapter 5, verse 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And he was come out of the ship. Immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had its dwelling among the tombs. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." For he said unto them, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." We find here the same story. But immediately one says, well, why does Matthew have two that met him? And why does Mark have only one? If we were to take the time to read Luke's account, we'd find that he only talked about one. So why the difference? Matthew Henry wrote, if there was two, there was one. Being a little simple in that thought. But there are two thoughts that come quickly to mind. First was that the leader, the spokesman, the more violent, and the controller of the other was the one who, what shall we say, fell the one fell into the background while the other was the leader, the one that Mark and Luke tell us about. The second thought is that one man accepted the Lord's healing while the other man left still spiritually in bondage. I have titled my lesson today, "The Battle Rages." And folks, the battle is not over. If you would, the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3. We'll read a familiar portion of scripture. We live in a society today that is struggling with common sense. We're struggling with a society that has, in many cases, gone absolutely berserk. We are infatuated with entertainment. We are infatuated with what we can do that can make us feel good to the point that all else means nothing. Paul here is going to tell Timothy that in the last days, perilous times will come. I was reading an article, and it was talking about the national debt. Now, I don't know about you, but I like to pay off my credit cards when the bill comes in. I like to pay my bills. It drives me nuts not to. And as I mentioned last week, it bothers me greatly that our country is in such great debt. I understand that it's over $15 trillion. Have you heard higher than that, $15 trillion? And it's going lickety-split. To me, that's an embarrassment. But see, we live in a society that says, well, if you want it, charge it. If you want it, steal it. If you want it, maybe you can win it in gambling or the lottery. Notice what it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Do you believe that someone can be possessed by a devil? In Mark's account, the demon name says his name is Legion, for we are many. Sometimes we say, oh, they're just someone that is sick. They have a mental issue. But I believe many today are possessed with demons. Their sinful conditions proclaim it. Wicked, vile, vulgar. Now I know we have some strange things happening where people color their hair interesting colors. I don't necessarily believe because someone has purple hair that they are demon possessed. Just different. We have people today that have a tattoo. And yet the other day I saw a young woman, she could not have been more than 21. It's hard to tell with females. Would you agree? Her one arm was a tattoo. And then she had tattoos, different parts of her body, and she was exposing a lot of her body. Does that mean that she is demon-possessed? Not necessarily. But I do believe we have a lot of demon-possessed people in our society today that are proclaiming things that are just totally ungodly, that are promoting ungodly activities. And in many cases, we hold them up as if something special. I believe that we are being constantly attacked by demons. Now, let me say this right now. I don't believe a Bible-believing Christian can be possessed by a devil. But he or she can be influenced by a devil. If we know Christ as our Savior, the Holy Ghost lives within us and protects us from that. But we can still be influenced. Do you know someone who is being influenced by the wrong of society? You're awful quiet out there. But we find that are many in our entertainment world are demon possessed. We have many in our political world that are demon possessed. Paul writes to the church at Ephesus saying, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Ephesians 6:12. When Jesus came ashore, he was confronted by this one who was not afraid of man. But when he saw Jesus, he knew immediately who he was. And cried out, "What are you here for? What are you going to do? Are you here to torment me?" You know, the book of James say that the demons believe in God and tremble. And yet we don't tremble, do we? And yet I was reading in the book of Psalms today, it says that our Lord desires that we fear him. Isaiah 1. 2 and 4, written to Israel, but could be applied to America. "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. For the Lord hath spoken, I have nourished and brought up children. And they have rebelled against me. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forgotten the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward." Does that sound like America today? Have we been blessed beyond measure? Hello? We have food aplenty. We have clothes more than we need. We have cars and gasoline available. It's amazing what we have. And what have we said? We've done it. No, we've been blessed by God. We've been blessed by God. Isaiah 5:20, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness." Do you realize that there are certain states in our country that have said it is against the law to counsel a homosexual so that they will leave that path? It's against the law. That within our public schools, we cannot tell them that you need to change. This is where we are in our society today, where we say that good is evil and evil is good. We struggle with it, don't we? We struggle. You have friends, you may have family members that are living sinful, immoral lives. And it's amazing how we've jumped on the bandwagon of homosexuals, but the fact of the matter is, how many people today are living immorally that are heterosexuals? How many are living immorally? And we say, well, they're not so bad. Well, the fact of the matter, they're just as guilty. Because sin is sin. And immorality is immorality. I was reading a magazine that Lorraine Van Langenhoven, she's not here today. She's in Oregon. Oh, everybody should go to Oregon once in a while. Yes. But she gave me a magazine, and it had a title that says, "Hello, my name is Pornography." And in the article, it says, "Us as churches are not strong enough against pornography, that it is spreading like wildfire." I was talking to a pastor the other day who told me that he had battled with it and that he is now accountable because another man in the church has it, where wherever he goes on the internet, this man in the church knows where he goes. Now you say a pastor could have an issue? What do you think? Do you think we're any different? Women have the issues today. Their pornography issues are different than men's. But pornography is eating the guts out of American families. But it's out there. In the last days, perilous times shall come. Do you believe that? Yep. Jesus met this man. Did he run away? Jesus, I mean. Did he shy away? Did he say, "Oh, there's no hope for him"? Aren't you glad there was hope for him? Aren't you glad that this one that ran around naked, cutting himself and screaming night and day, had hope? That means there's hope for all of us, right? There's hope for every one of us. There's hope for that son or that daughter, that parent, those siblings, cousins or nephews, uncles and aunts. There is hope in the Lord. There's hope. Jeremiah 6, 14b through 16, saying, "Peace, peace, when there is no peace. They were ashamed when they had committed abomination. Nay, they were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein." The Lord said we should want the old ways. You know, some people call us old-fashioned Baptists. I'm glad. I want to walk the old ways. I love singing the old songs, the songs of faith. Matthew does not report a changed man, though we can believe from the other reports that at least one was gloriously changed. But both Mark and Luke report of this changed man. Let me read to you from the book of Mark, chapter 5, verse 15. "And they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid." Now, I have never been to a Hard Rock concert, but I have seen it on television. When I watch something like that, I think those people are possessed. They have an issue. And this is where we are in so many young people today. The drug craze, the need of alcohol. They are searching for peace. And they don't realize that there is peace available. Luke 8:35 says, "Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. So in the accounts of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, after they saw what had happened, what did they ask Jesus to do? They asked him to leave. Isn't that amazing? They asked him to leave. What are we doing in America today to Jesus? We're asking him to leave. He bothers us. He convicts us. But may I say this? Jesus brought peace of mind to that man. John 15:27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Is there peace available? Is this peace available for all? It is. All they have to do is accept it. The world is full of false gods, deceitful teachings, and deceptive lifestyles. Proverbs 16:25 says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. They seem right. The humanists would say, oh, we're getting better. But they're lying to us. We're not getting better. Do you remember the story of the rich man who came to Jesus? See, he thought the money was the answer, but he went away sad. Do you remember the story of the Pharisee and the publican that went up to pray? And the Pharisee thought his religion was the answer, but he went away dishonored. May I say this, that there is plenty of religion in our world today? Even amongst the Christian so-called faiths, the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons, the Quakers, you remember the Quakers? Anybody remember the Quakers? Mother Anna, their theory was that if God made us in his image, there had to be a woman. And it was Mother Anna. How about the Shakers? Now, there were the Quakers and there were the Shakers. Yeah, one quaked and the other shaked. We find even the Roman Catholics. We find that there are those who add to what the Word of God says. There's plenty of religion out there, folks. But what we need is the Word of God. What we read in the Scriptures. That Jesus is the way into heaven, and there is no other way. Amen. I mean, I'm glad that people are good, but you're not going to be good enough to get into heaven. Have you sinned once? Have you? One time? Have you sinned once in the last hour? Have you sinned once in the last 20 minutes since I began preaching? You know where most of us sin? Our thought life. Yeah. So we deserve hell. But society today doesn't want to believe there's a hell. Do you believe there's a hell? Yep. It's important that you believe that. Because if you don't believe there's a hell, you're probably not going to be worried if anybody dies then, right? Because after all, according to television, everybody goes to heaven. Right? We all get there a different way, but we all end up because we all teach the same things. Well, we don't all teach the same things. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto him. Aren't you glad that Jesus healed the man? I'm not going to ask anybody to raise their hand and say, do you have a secret sin? But we probably all do, right? Yeah. But aren't you glad that the Lord is able to forgive us? Save our souls. Shall we stand together? And they found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. Maybe there's something today that you would like to come and just deal with at the altar with the Lord. Maybe you'd like to come and pray for someone. Maybe you'd just like to sit right there or stand right there at the pew and just pray that the Lord would protect the Covenant Baptist Church, its pastors, its membership, praying that we will continue to be a lighthouse for the Lord. Because there's a lot of people that would like to close us down. But prayer needs to be offered on our behalf. Dear Heavenly Father, as we have this invitation time, and sometimes, Lord, we don't even know how to offer an invitation other than to say that one can come. We ask that the Holy Spirit would move. We ask, Lord, that your will be done. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.